Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 42. The title of the psalm is Thirsting for God in Trouble and Exile. It says, for the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah. It's good to remember that the psalms are songs, and oh, what a blessing they would have been to hear them sung in Hebrew, for many of them rhymed. And now we have them translated into English, and they are still beautiful. But without the rhymes that would have been present in Hebrew. There's an interesting story that I'd like to begin with as it relates to this psalm and the fact that it comes from the sons of Korah. We talked about this recently, but I'd like to follow up with it today. When I say recently, some of us are going through the entire Bible and we've been in the book of Numbers. You might recall in Numbers 16, there was something called Korah's Rebellion. And Korah, who was a son of Kohath, a son of Levi, he took a stand against Moses while they were in the desert. And they're like, you know, can't we do what Moses can do? And they were usurping Moses's leadership. And God was not going to allow this to take place because it was really important, as God ordained Moses to be the leader of Israel at this time in history, that they didn't rise up against him. And there definitely at times was a crowd mentality, a mob mentality of the people in the desert, and they didn't always do what was right, and this is one of the times. And God didn't want to let it get too out of hand, so he punished Korah for taking a rebellion against Moses, and most of Korah's family was actually killed. There was like a earthquake, and it's like the earth swallowed them up in front of Israel, so Israel would know not to take a stand like this against Moses. And it seems as though everyone was lost in Korah's family, but when you go a little bit ahead from Numbers 16 to Numbers 26, it says this, the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram who were called by the congregation who contended against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah. So there were some other people that were a part of the rebellion, Korah's rebellion, and that was Dathan and Abiram. When they contended against the Lord. Ultimately, they were contending against the Lord when they contended against Moses. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up along with Korah when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men so that they became a warning. It was a warning, you know, to all of Israel, hey, don't do what Korah did in Korah's rebellion. However, listen to the grace and mercy of God. It says in verse 11, the sons of Korah, however, did not die. So God spared Korah's sons. Now, I don't know how old they were, but nonetheless, we know that they were spared. Well, many years later, in future generations of that family, there were people, maybe they had that warning and that story of what God did to their family for turning against God, and maybe they didn't want to do that anymore, and they were like, God's real, and we want to be devoted to him. Well, they ended up being, some of them, song leaders who wrote psalms. And indeed, this is one of the psalms that the sons of Korah and their, you know, future generations wrote. And I think what is really cool about this is, you know, God redeems, God restores, God gives second chances. And you know what? No matter what you've done, God has greater purpose for you in him. And He can move you past your past, hallelujah. And, you know, it just think of so many people who, you know, like David, a man after God's own heart, but yet did so many things wrong. Paul, who was, you know, persecuting Christians, and even there at the killing of the martyrdom of Stephen, and yet God used him as an amazing missionary. You know what? Your past doesn't have to define your future, and you can get on board with worshiping God, living for God, serving God, and part of your past actually can be to God's glory then, to see where he's brought you from. I mean, I lived the first 26 years of my life really absent of God and not serving him. And then I became saved, born again, child of God, believed in him. And, you know, now I'm a pastor and I'm teaching a biblical podcast. Like, it's incredible how God can redeem, restore, change your life. And you know what? God wants to use all of you. You know, just a little bit more on this. You know, one of my sons is not following the Lord right now, and it's really sad to me. And I think that the saddest thing about it is it's not about me. You know, I mean, part of you is like, whatever, you want your kids to honor what you've taught them, and, you know, maybe embarrassed sometimes if you have a child who's not following God, but you know, they have to make their own decisions, and hopefully they make a decision to follow God. I have two of my three that are following God, praise the Lord. But anyways, what's sad about it, really, if you look at it from God's perspective, is if you aren't believing and devoting yourself to God, you're not living for the right purpose. And that's sad. Think about that. There's a very gifted and talented young man that has skills and abilities and could do a lot for the kingdom of God. And the worst part about it is that when you don't believe in him and you live your own way instead of living God's way, you can't serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, you can't really do what you were designed to do. You're living a life that isn't producing fruit for the kingdom of God. You're not living for the reward of heaven. You have a heart, you have a mind, you have arms and legs and a body and a voice and an intellect. And God wants to use all of that for his kingdom, to live for eternity, to do something that matters. And ultimately, when you don't live for Jesus, you're living a futile, purposeless life that has no bearing on eternity. And that's what's sad. And you know what? As long as you still have a heart beating, you have an opportunity to turn your life to God. And that's what the sons of Korah in the future did. And praise God, he is a God of restoration, redemption, and no matter if you're not living for him now, you could live for him. You could change your life and live for something that matters. Hallelujah. And one day then you'll be rewarded. And look at this. These sons of Korah, whose family before them rebelled and lost their lives. Someone said, not me, not my house, not my future. I'm living for the Lord. And this is what they wrote. The sons of Korah, listen to this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Oh, man. Can you imagine having you know, a loved one or someone in your life that wasn't following God, now writing those kinds of words? So my soul pants for you. Oh, God, make that happen. Make that happen in my son's life and in others' lives who are not walking with you now. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Hallelujah. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, for they say to me all day long, where is your God? And it appears that this son of Korah was going through a hard time, and maybe people were, you know, ridiculing him, saying, where is your God now? You know, I have a story about that. A couple of my friends who listen probably know exactly what I'm going to say, but there's this guy that I know, and he's got a sense of humor, but he's very foul and uses the Lord's name in vain, swears all the time, and just does inappropriate things. And in fact, my relationship with this person is a little bit soured right now because I had to leave a group text group because it's just all the inappropriate things. This is someone I know through golf, all the inappropriate things happening. And I just said, I can't be a part of this anymore. But Anyways, I was coughing with this guy, and actually, I think at least one of my friends was in the group, one of my Christian brothers, and this guy, you know, I've witnessed to him. He doesn't want to hear it though. But I'm standing on a tee box, and it's kind of a difficult tee shot for me. And sure enough, I hit a bad drive, and the ball's hooking into the woods, and you can see it's hooking into the woods, and this guy goes, "Where's your God now?" And this is why I bring this up. While the ball's in the air, he says, "Where is your God?" Just like we see in verse 3. "Where's your God now?" My ball hooks right into the woods, hits a tree, kicks right in the middle of the fairway. And we're like, there he is right there. And I just, that was amazing. It was an amazing moment because the guy was like, saying something right when my ball was in the air and it kicked right back in the fairway. I'll never forget it. And we had a good laugh with him and about this, and we still bring it up to him from time to time. But, you know, I don't mean to make light of the story, but that was, I'll never forget that. So people are going to say that to you sometimes. Where is your God now? These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. He didn't give up. Cried out to God, the son of Korah, and didn't give up when God wasn't responding right away. "For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival." And it could be that this is referencing how this son of Korah was used as a worshiper to God to lead God's people in worship. And now it says this, because there's this, you know, he's in a conflicted moment where he's needing God to move. And he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me?" And he's questioning himself. Hey, listen, why are you maybe doubting God, or why are you in despair? And then he says this, he's got the solution. "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him." You know what? Trust God in your storm. Trust God when, even when things aren't going well. Continue to trust God for the help of his presence. "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me." He's going through a hard time, and we will in this life. "Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me." It's like the waves of the ocean are suffocating me. Things are hard. Life's difficult right now. But then he says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night." Even when you're going through the storm, praise God. "A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." And he's in despair, he's having difficult times, but is reminding himself to hope in God and to continue to praise him. God will be with him. Hallelujah. What a great psalm. "As the deer panteth, so my soul pants for you." Even in times of difficulty, trust in God, hope in God. What an example where no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God wants to use you. Praise him in the challenges of your life, and there will be better days ahead, including heavenly ones. God bless you all.